So now, every time we mention Eskom rolling blackouts, the blackouts are not the only things that roll. Your eyes roll as well, going, oh, not again. And what you've done is you either have the generator running at home, you've got an inverter running, and it's become part of your life. So yesterday, the power utility Eskom made the announcement that they will be implementing load shedding for the first time since the 9th of December 2018. And that's a record, eh? 63 days. So if your lights went out last night, or you had to have a cold lunch, or this morning you woke up and you realized, oh my word, there's no electricity, well, it's because of rolling blackouts. But why are we having all these rolling blackouts? We know that Eskom owes 419 billion rand, which is a heck of a lot of money to earn. We also know that the grid can't sustain the demand at the moment. But I think to tell you more in English, Andrew Etzing, it's great to have you back, Andrew. When the state capture guys took over, you kept quiet. No one would let you speak, but it's great to have you back on the wireless again.
Good to hear you again as well, but sorry that it's always under these circumstances.
No, for sure. So why, though? Why in the world are we being load-shedded once again?
Let's pick up on a couple of points that you've made. Eskom has spent 400-odd billion on building new power stations, but unfortunately those power stations are not delivering reliable, consistent output at the moment, which is a huge frustration to us. We've got our engineers, top engineers, working on those plants with the suppliers, with the designers and the contractors. But that is the first problem, that the new build power stations that were expected are simply not coming to the party. The second, and you mentioned the state capture, certainly over the last couple of years, there has been a diversion of attention and resources away from the technical aspects of the generation plant to other things, which has severely compromised us as well, both at the technical performance level as well as at the coal availability level. And we've been hard at work since November in addressing these. But unfortunately, last week we had a bad week where the technical faults at a number of our power stations occurred simultaneously and put us into a position where we were in a deficit and we needed, unfortunately, to implement load shedding. So that's where we are at the moment. From our side, it's entirely Eskom's fault and we take responsibility and apologize.
Okay, so in terms of the runway, we all have to now, for those who have not yet bought their inverters and their generators, you have to do so because this is going to last until, what, April?
Certainly this week is looking tough. We are expecting a number of the generators back in service. I'm not optimistic. I've seen this before. There's delays in return to service. So certainly this week is going to be tough. We'll start stage two load shedding from 9 o'clock this morning and continue into the evening. But as for the rest of the week, as I said, the prognosis is a steady improvement. But realistically, I think for much of this week, we're going to be in load shedding.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for that. We'll certainly keep an eye on this. And by the way, is it a lot easier now working under a new board?
Yes and no. It's always good to have a good board to know that the company is well governed. But of course, they hold your feet to the fire, which is the other side of things, which I accept as well.
Okay. Well, Andrew, thank you very much. Senior manager for demand management at Eskom. And that's a voice, a blast from the past. Because when Marcella Coco and all these other state capture thugs took over Eskom, they shut everything down. We couldn't chat to the likes of Andrew Etzinger. Good to hear his voice again. This is Breakfast. You're listening to The Breakfast Show right here on 567 Medium Wave. So I'm sure you were sitting there listening to President Cyril Ramaphosa vowing to rescue Eskom during the State of the Nation address. He said that government would provide Eskom with financial support and was also to split Eskom into three entities after it suffered massive losses. We're looking at about 419 billion rand. That's the hole they need to dig themselves out of. And the opening of last week's mining indaba, once again, President Cyril Ramaphosa spoke about Eskom, saying that it's too big to fail. And he was echoing the sentiments of the World Bank's country director. The country director for the World Bank is Paul Nomba. And he also said that, you know what, Eskom is too big to fail. But recently we saw a report that the Global Entrepreneurship Network does not believe that Eskom is too big to fail. And to tell you more and take you through their thinking, you are joined by Kizito Okachukwu, who is the co-chairperson of the Global Entrepreneurship Network. Kizito, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
It's good to have you on. What does the Global Entrepreneurship Network do primarily?
So Global Entrepreneurship Network is a network of around 170 countries aimed at making it easier for anyone anywhere to start and scale a business. And my role on that is specifically on the African continent, which looks after 42 African countries.
Okay.
So we have a platform of projects and programs that support startups to start and scale.
Wonderful. We should actually do another show highlighting some of the work that you guys are doing. I'd love to do that. But let's talk a little bit, Kizito, about the comments that have been made by Paul Nwamba, by Cyril Ramaphosa, our president, that Eskom is too big to fail. You don't buy that?
I do buy it, but I also have a different view.
Okay.
Because I see where they're coming from. So I think for me, the too big to fail concept is a concept that all of us cherish to heart, because big businesses today, if you look at it, they employ lots of number of people.
Mm.
They generate lots of capital, pay lots of taxes to the government, and so on. So I understand when the World Bank director is saying that, when the president is saying that, what they're basically saying is that we can afford to let them fail because this would be a detriment to our economy. But from my concept also, I'm looking at it in another direction where I'm saying, in today's disruptive world, no business is too big to fail, because we've seen it happen over and over again. Big businesses fail, jobs are lost, the economy goes down, and so on. So in two ways, Eskom is too big to fail, but also Eskom is not too big to fail. Any business in today's environment can fail.
Well, before you give me an example, right, can we maybe rephrase it? And would it be accurate to say Eskom is too big to be allowed to fail?
Agreed. Correct. I think that would be a better rephrase. Yeah.
Yeah, because if let's look at the facts. Even if we look at the IPOs, IPOs, for example, you look at the independent power producers, the IPPs at least, they don't have enough generating capacity to replace Eskom. If Eskom fell down tomorrow and it closed its doors and its workforce is decimated, as it were, then mining would crash. I mean, we heard Anglo say that if Eskom increases the tariffs, they're dead. So if Eskom's no longer there, they're definitely going to be dead. And so would a lot of enterprises across the country.
I might even beg to differ with you.
Sure.
Think of the Lehman Brothers in the US 2008 financial crisis and so on. You know, some people think with some of these businesses ceasing to exist, the financial market is actually going to be in turmoil. Mm. But the fact remains that when one business fails, you are forced actually to innovate, to bring something else into play. Think of Nokia when Nokia failed. You know, people are thinking, oh, Nokia is the only phone you can use and so on. But BlackBerry came out, and a lot of all the initiatives also came out from there. So for me, when the fact remains that we can't allow it to fail because of the impact it plays in the economy.
Yeah.
But no business is still too big to fail
in absolutely
disruptive environment.
I think we agree on that particular point. The point that I'm simply making is that if Eskom fails tomorrow, so will Anglo. Because Anglo needs the generating, they need the electricity to be able to do what they do, and so do lots of other businesses. But you were giving me an example earlier, Kizito, a fascinating discussion, this, by the way. So you were talking about an example earlier about companies that were too big to fail, but dead, yeah?
So I mean, I'm not saying even that they failed, but if you look at the current challenge that Edcon is facing now, where they're going to seek for $3 billion recapitalization to be able to run their operations, right? Mm. So I'm saying, but this is a big retail giant that we've known over the years. We've all had their shop cards and so on, and credit cards, and use it to buy things and see the challenge they're facing. So my argument today is even, how can we, private, public sector, and even civic society, create a disruption policy? So disruption policy is what helps each industry to say, how do I mitigate the challenges that my industry is going to face in future? How can I anticipate? How can I be proactive to be able to actually get my, to be able to innovate and ensure that my, that I stand tomorrow ready for the challenges faced in the business world? Because what is going to happen is, if we don't do that, you will see more private companies now seeking recapitalization support from government. Mm. Because previously, you know, it's only SAA, SABC, and all these companies that go to government. But now, if big companies start doing that, that is when you know that there is a problem, because the challenges that these companies face is not really a local challenge. It's a global challenge. It's a global competition coming from outside of the country. So how can we create a policy that will help industries to actually mitigate future risk?
There we go. That is Kizito Ochekukwe, who is the co-chairperson of the Global Entrepreneurship Network. Maybe you'd like to comment on that.